This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
While there is a perceived, or why there is a perceived lack of buzz about the Browns having the number two pick, every time we talk about the draft, I kind of, even if it's something that I don't love, like Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward, I love having the discussions we're having because I honestly don't think there's a lot of ways this draft can go incredibly wrong. Except maybe taking quarterback at two. But I enjoy, think about it. Like, in so much of the last three off seasons, it's been like a one or two outcome kind of situation where today on, you know, Valentine's Day 2025, if you said they took a quarterback, I'd believe you. If you said they trade out, I'd believe you. If you said Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, I'd believe you. I might even believe Mason Graham at two, which is a name we haven't talked nearly enough, as I am the man that has brought Mason Graham's name to reality for the Cleveland Browns.
You are trying to will that into existence.
Yeah, I really think he's going to be a really special player. But that's what, seven different ways that number two pick can go? I think that's fun. Like, I know it sucks that they're 3-14. I know that there are so many things that are frustrating. The Miles thing, I don't want to name them all because it's a Friday and I'm not trying to bum you guys out. It's going to be a great weekend other than the weather. Don't look outside. Just stay inside. It's nice. But, I think there's a lot of, optionality to it. And I think that's kind of exciting.
I heard that word yesterday a few times.
I know you did. And at some point, we're going to cue the careless whisper and we're going to get to the brass tacks.
We're not doing it now. I got to be in the mood for it.
That's true.
And I got to be honest with you, Nick.
Like the Cougar at the Combine 7 years ago. We're not just waltzing in willy-nilly here. We got to rev the engine a bit.
Yeah, the temperature in the room has dropped significantly since you dropped optionality on me.
Is that the opposite of a panty dropper, is optionality?
It's definitely a mood killer.
Gird your loins! He said optionality! That makes sense because it's a word created by Harvard people and Ivy Leaguers. But no, do you... So I understand, again, that because there isn't, a quarterback, although for some people I think it's starting to be there, I understand.
They're talking themselves into it, I feel like.
I don't know that I'm in the minority on this. I feel like it's media types that are down on having the number two pick. Every time I talk to Browns fans, whether that's family, friends, or acquaintances, hey, what are they going to do with the number two pick? And there isn't a cynicism with it, even though we all kind of go, and let's talk about Andrew Berry's draft ability.
Right.
So where do you kind of fall on this?
I'm lukewarm, I will admit, about this upcoming draft and the fact that the Browns have the number two pick. I think we see eye to eye on the quarterback thing. I think it's a reach. I don't think either one of these guys, just because they're the top two at that position, which is the most coveted in the National Football League, that does not mean that they qualify to be the first and second picks in the draft when a year ago, you know, all the experts are telling me these guys would be, at best, second-round selections. I don't think second-round picks should be first or second overall picks in a draft. I also don't feel like that there is a must-have player in this draft. Like, there's good players. There's good optionality for the Browns at number two, but I don't feel like that there is a gotta have that guy because he is going to walk in the door and just reverse the fortunes of everything.
And so
I think that's why maybe for me, I'm not as energetic about this particular draft, and especially with the Browns having the number two pick, as I would be in the past. And also, too, because I'm looking at that landscape and I'm like, I really want the Browns to trade down. Not trade out of the top 10, but I want them to sucker the Giants into coming up one spot and give me your first round pick next year to do it. Or the Vegas Raiders to come up from six. And yes, give me your first round pick and give me something else with it to come up to two. And whether it's Shadur or whoever they want to take, like, I'm all for that. Like, I think I'm the one that's leading the trade down train right now. But I don't feel that there is a must-have, can't-miss prospect that's going to change the fate of the franchise the moment they walk in the door.
So it's interesting. I understand why people feel that way, and it is perceived as a lesser draft. I wonder how much of that is from the quarterbacks, though. I wonder how much of our, oh, this is a great draft, is driven by the quarterback position and whether there are truly elite prospects. The fact that I don't think these guys are elite prospects. Like, I think Shadur Sanders might be capable of being a guy that can be a top 10, top 12 quarterback once.
Right.
And maybe he's more in line with, like Trevor Lawrence QBR has been 16, 17, and 17 the last 3 years. That's more where I think Shadur is.
Right.
And that doesn't mean he's a scrub. But if I'm taking you at two, like if I take you at 52 and you're 16, 17, and 17 in the NFL, amen, hallelujah. But I'll say this.
Is he Baker Mayfield 2.0?
I think there's a lot of, I've made that comparison a couple times. I think their most elite trait is toughness and a little bit of swagger. I think they're both incredibly accurate quarterbacks, although I think Baker had the stronger arm, and I think that does matter when we're getting into the pantheon of how strong your arm is. And I think Shadur might be a titch more mobile than Baker was. I don't think it's a significant advantage, but like, I don't know. I don't know how you see this with quarterbacks. What is your elite trait? And toughness, right? Like, toughness is adjacent to toughness is a part of the intangibles conversation, but it's not adjacent to maybe the most important thing, which is if you don't have an elite physical tool, then you better have elite processing. And I think when your number one concern with Shadur is holding on the ball too long, I think that negates some of that. Like, the toughness is because you had to get tough because you're going to get your butt kicked. But I actually will push back. I think Travis Hunter, who would be my worst case scenario at two, because I think some of his value is driven by the fact he's a two-way player. I think Travis Hunter's going to be a damn fine NFL player. I think Will Johnson, the corner out of Michigan, I think it's going to be a really nice player. I think Mason Graham might end up being the best defensive player out of the top 10 3 years from now. So I think there are... Listen, the reality is there's one position. There's one position in the game that if you draft them with the top five has the chance to change the fate of your franchise overnight, and it's a quarterback. So you're correct in there isn't that guy. I think you might get respectability at quarterback if you draft one of these guys. I still think there's a couple guys who 3 years from now we're going to be looking at, and if let's say you take the quarterback, force it, it doesn't work out, you're going to be like, oh, we could have had Abdul Carter. Oh, we could have had Hunter. We could have had Mason Graham. I do think there's some element of that.
We hear five-tool players when it comes to baseball all the time. For quarterbacks, for me, it's six tools. And you mentioned a couple of them. Accuracy, in no particular order. Accuracy, leadership, toughness, mobility, ability to read defenses, and arm strength. Those are the for me, the six tools need to check all those boxes. I don't know, you know, I think with Shadur, accuracy, I think it's fair to say he checks that box. Leadership, I haven't heard many negative things about him, but I don't know 100% that he checks the box, but it's leaning that way.
Mm-hmm.
Toughness absolutely checks that box. Mobility checks that box. Arm strength, I don't know that he checks that box.
Yeah.
I do have some questions there. And then ability to read defenses. He has shown the ability to make plays when things are going south because the line in front of him breaks down, but he's also shown the ability to make some mistakes when things have broken down. So he checks a couple of those boxes, absolutely, but there's three there that I do have questions about. So so if I'm taking a guy at number two, for me, he's got to check all six boxes.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm taking a quarterback with a top three pick, he better be able to be on the 10th best quarterback on average for the next 10 years. It doesn't mean he have to be number one. Doesn't have to be, he has to consistently be number six. But if you're somewhere between 13 and 8 for the next decade, you can win with that. And you can maybe win a championship with that one or two times if they don't develop into Mahomes. But if we go in and we're like, and maybe he's Baker. Okay, didn't we just run Baker out of here because he didn't have those elite traits and wasn't good enough to win with? But just because there isn't an elite quarterback, I think there should be more buzz for the number two pick. I think this can be a very, very good draft and set the Browns up for a very long time, depending on which way they go. We can haggle over which way they go, but I'll say it one more time. I think Browns fans are closer where I am, where, hey, have the number two pick. Let's see what we can do to boost the stock of this team, even if we don't trust Andrew Berry, even if we don't like the quarterbacks. 216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Right or Wrong FAN, we are here on a Football Friday on an I guess it's a Football Friday because we're talking football. On an F-Off Friday, social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. We do have Quick Hits, Daryl's inaugural Quick Hits run, coming up in about 25 minutes here. Joel Corey, former NFL agent, CBS Sports NFL contractual analyst. He's joining us at 4 today. We'll talk about Myles Garrett trade from a contractual standpoint. Other financial issues with the Cleveland Browns as well. The lead at 5, Tyler King, NFL draft analyst and reporter for the Denver Gazette. We'll talk a lot of Shador there, see if he agrees with the tools argument there. But is there a lack of buzz on having the number two pick for the Browns? Like, do you feel the buzz? Are you excited about the Browns having the number two pick? And replacing Myles Garrett is more than just about finding another edge rusher. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Getting back to this idea of whether there's a franchise player in this draft, I think it just might not be where you want it to be. It might be a defensive tackle. It might be a cornerback instead of a quarterback. That doesn't mean this isn't going to be a great draft.
Might be a running back. They say it's a great draft for a running back.
And I've heard some of those running backs also did ballet when they were in their formative years.
Great footwork.
Great footwork that automatically translates to the pro game. Mac's been saying it for years.
Balance.
Yep. If you have done karate, and of course that allows you to work on your footwork and
sweep the leg.
Sweep the leg, as it were. That's a great point by Mac Robinson there. However, I think for the Browns, the nice thing about this draft is you can kind of do a little bit of both. Like, everybody always focuses on, like, a safer draft. All right, so I think, to me, a safe draft means you draft in the trenches, you fortify what I think matters most in winning football, and you avoid the splashy positions if they're not there. Like, I don't know there's a number one receiver in this draft. And I like, maybe McMillan is, but he might be like T. Higgins. Like, is he a one or a two kind of guy? I don't know that there's an elite quarterback in this draft. So if you don't have to, and I don't think the Browns have to do anything, just avoid the risk and take players. And this, whether it's edge or defensive tackle or even splashier positions, running back and tight end, there are really damn good football players in this draft.
It's what Phil Savage used to call the meat and potatoes. You know, you don't go for dessert, which is the flashy skill players. You don't reach for those guys, especially when you're not ready for them. You, like you said, you go in the trenches. You fill those meaningful spots. And I think this is a perfect draft to do that. I am not sold on these quarterbacks. It's not because I'm afraid. It's not because I'm living in fears or anything like that. It's just, I'm just being practical about. Now, somebody in this draft that's a quarterback, I do believe will become a good player in the National Football League.
Mm-hmm.
Do I really trust Andrew Berry's going to be able to know who that's going to be?
See, that to me, if you say, I don't want to take a quarterback because I don't trust Andrew, that is a little living in your fears. I don't think, if you just want to avoid one of them because you don't think they're very good, you don't think it's guaranteed the best quarterback in this draft is going to be one of the first two quarterbacks off the board, then we're in the same conversation.
I'm on both sides of the aisle. I'm in the, I don't trust to be able to identify the player, but also at the same time, I don't believe the guys that are being projected to be at the top of the draft are worthy of being in that spot.
So then would you trust him to take a defensive tackle then and not
yes,
a quarterback?
Yes, 100%. Yeah.
Why?
I just...
Maybe not a left tackle, though, eh?
I will give him a hint. Knowing the playbook, kind of important to be a quarterback. So please, as you go through the pre-draft process, make sure these guys know how to read, learn, and recite a playbook.
So the other big part of the offseason is what do you do with Myles Garrett? You and I are both on the record on this. But the topic did come up about what's most important with the next quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. And I think as you look at why I think the Browns have failed three of the last 4 years to do what the assignment was, which was to go make the playoffs. I think it's very easy to say, well, it's just about the quarterback. I think that is a very convenient way of looking at it. I do think there have been some cultural things. I think Kevin is not naturally a leader of men, which that's not a knock on him. Some head coaches aren't.
You have to do is watch that Hard Knocks series. We were talking about before the show. When I was watching that, when Mike Tomlin was speaking and when Harbaugh was speaking, I was like sitting up in my chair at attention. And then Kevin comes on and I'm just like, okay.
Yeah, and again, it's okay if you're more of an X's and O guys, or if you're more of I think Kevin's smart enough to know himself to say, all right, you know, Callahan and AVP, one guy was a little bit more of my leader from the coaching staff, another was a more of my communication guy, because those are not where I'm maybe the strongest at. So the problem is you didn't have that this year. I hope they
you
have that.
You thought you had it in Jim Schwartz a little bit, it didn't carry from year one to year two.
I don't think it carried from one side of the ball to the other.
Oh, well, that too.
And yeah. I think maybe you need another authoritative presence on the offensive side of the thing. Maybe it's Blomgren. Maybe it's, I forgot who the new OC is. It's Tommy Reese. But maybe it's somebody else. But if you know your head coach is maybe not a true definitive leader of men, then you have to go ahead and put that in the locker room. And I think this is even more important with the idea of Miles potentially being traded. I think this is a great time to reset the culture, reestablish that locker room. And I think it all starts with who's going to be your quarterback. I think if you were to upset the apple cart at all this year, I think the number one trait for the quarterback next year or for the next quarterback, I think it's going to have to be somebody who is a truly great leader. And I think maybe that's why you saw Joe Flacco step into the void 2 years ago, and all of a sudden the team went and played their best football in 4 years under Kevin Stefanski. I'm not saying bring back Joe Flacco, but I think that's the kind of impact an important leader, even if they're slightly physically less talented, can have.
Two things stand out to me in this particular era of the Barry Stefanski regime. They were at their best as a franchise in two instances. One, in 2020, when nobody was allowed around the football team during COVID, and it's all it was. It was just football, right? And football was, even for the players, just from like a human level, football was like their only normalcy, even with the conditions that they had to deal with, right? The restrictions and things like that. And the second time that they were at their best is when Joe Flacco walked in the door. Instantaneous command of that locker room. And I think that there's a lesson in there that the Browns organizationally could learn.
And I think maybe they've resisted, which I find a little frustrating. But continue, please, because I think you're making a really good point.
Yeah, I keep falling back to that. You know, there's a lot that comes with being a Cleveland Brown. Obviously, the inglorious history of this franchise, the modern history of this franchise. A lot of players today don't really understand that the Baltimore Ravens were once the originally the Cleveland Browns. They don't understand the circumstances of why this team is here again. You know, because this is their job.
Mm-hmm.
They come here. They're coming here to work, to make money, play their position, do what their coaches tell them to do, and hopefully win some games at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really concerned about the other. Of course, everyone that comes in, they do that. Yeah, we love the fans. The fans are great. Blah blah. Right. But there isn't really a true understanding of like history around the game, like it used to be. That tradition has been broken. Not only just from the original Browns to the expansion Browns and that three-year hiatus, but the tradition of excellence, the tradition of winning, the tradition of competing at the highest levels in the game, that is all gone. And they've never really recreated that in this expansion era for a variety of reasons, right? And we all know what those reasons are. But for me, it to your point, it starts with their inability to find a franchise quarterback, to find the face of the franchise, find the on-the-field general, that when the going gets tough, the tough get going. They've never really found that. We thought we did for a couple of years with Baker. He started, what was it, 53 straight games or whatever. That was like the longest stretch. You had to go back to Brian Sipe in the late 70s and 80s for consecutive starts, right? But Baker, unfortunately, he just wasn't mature enough. The organization wasn't mature enough to mature Baker, right? And so you just all those like little things, I think, kind of add up against you. And I feel like that they still haven't really found their way. And we've at times, I think, talked ourselves into believing that they found the way. Like, coming off of 2020, we had all those expectations going into 2021. Same thing this past year. They're going to compete for the division. They should not only make the playoffs, but they should get to the divisional round, take that next step, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for all the, well, Deshaun was the primary problem this past season. My counter-argument, and we've had this conversation, my counter-argument has always been, okay, but he was only on the field for 6.25 games.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing really got better materially when Deshaun was gone. So the quote-unquote problem, and I'm not saying he wasn't, okay, the performance and all that. I'm not saying that it wasn't a problem, because it was. But like once that was extracted and you moved on from it, things should have materially gotten better, right? Things got better when Joe Flacco took the field. But we didn't see that this year. We didn't see it with Jameis. We didn't see it with any other quarterbacks they put on the field. So that's the thing that they've got to find that guy. And I don't know that that guy is in this draft.
Well, and I think if you – because, again, it's a lot to ask a rookie quarterback to be good enough to play and a good enough leader to help this organization. That's why the right veteran quarterback – and then you're going to hate the names – but if you find a guy that you think can start for the next 2 years, even if that's to a bridge quarterback that you draft next year, I think you need a quarterback to stabilize the situation in Berea, and I think that starts with leadership. 216-474-0092. How important is leadership with a new quarterback? I think with the way this thing is set up, I think it might be the most important thing, and that's why I lean veteran quarterback and a former MLB GM calls out a major.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your key to the Guardians' success in 2025.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
go Angel, Angel,
to the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry, hurry.
It's Quick Hits.
Further proof, every time I try and say something nice, it comes out the way mean things come out. Daryl, former MLB GM, now with MLB Network, Steve Phillips, joined the show yesterday and gave a key to success for the Gardos this year.
They need the emergence of somebody in addition to Jose Ramirez to be a big bat in the lineup. You know, can it be John Kenzie Noel with the big home run he hit last year? And yeah, like, I love watching that guy play, but they need somebody else to be more than a blender. And, you know, I don't think it's going to be Carlos Santana. I like Carlos Santana for the team. I like his patience. I like his getting on base. I like his defense. I like everything about him, but they need somebody else. They need somebody else to be an aircraft carrier that is within the organization, because you can't buy power arms and power bats in Cleveland. You can't afford it. The price is too high. And so somebody's got to start to emerge as an impact offensive player and not just a guy to keep the line moving.
All right. Which young bat do you have the most confidence in making a big jump this year? He called out Big Christmas.
I was going to say John Kenzie Noel. I have big expectations for him this coming year. But I'm kind of confused. Are you supposed to be the blender or the aircraft carrier?
I think John Kenzie's big enough to be both. I wanted to be Big Christmas because I think he is the closest in spirit to Hosey. Like, he is so beloved by his teammates, and I think he has the kind of personality. And also, the man can hit missiles. I mean, he is just insanely powerful. I'm a little worried about the Oscar Gonzalez of it all, with more power. I'm a little bit worried that he just might not hit enough. I think it's Angel Martinez. I think everybody's talked about, I almost called him Uribe, Juan Brito. Juan Brito, not burrito. I think everybody's loving Chase DeLauder if he can stay healthy. But I think Angel Martinez, he really, really hit the ball well, even if the numbers don't say it last year. All right, what you got?
I had jury duty this week. That's where I was earlier this week.
They let you on, huh?
Not only did they let me on, I was the fifth name called after the orientation. Like, right out of the gate. Boom. And so, go up to the courtroom, you know, go through the voir dire, have to answer a whole bunch of questions that I'm just really not, you know, comfortable answering. Prosecutor knew who I was, made me a little nervous, you know. Promised not to ask me to solve the problems of the Cleveland Browns, and I had to tell them I don't think the court has that kind of time. They have better things they need me doing in here. Little bit of the gentleman was defending himself. Little bit of an outburst during the voir dire thing.
Nice.
So that made things extra awkward. Not only did an accused defendant now know exactly who I was, where I worked, but then the outburst came and I really started to get nervous. Long story short, trial didn't go forward. I was home by lunchtime Tuesday. It was glorious.
That's a real disappointment. If I got to do jury duty, which I don't think I've ever responded to any of the times I've been called for jury duty.
Which means you have warrants out for your arrest right now.
I realize now it's a real dumb thing to say into a microphone. Happy Friday, everybody. Ness, I can't show up to our new house. I'm going to jail now. However, if I have to go to jury duty, I want a murder trial. I want a Ponzi scheme. I want to put somebody's ass in jail or not. I want the crushing pressure of like 30 years or like a $30 million fine on something. I want real stakes here. Not something that gets thrown out within a day and a half. No.
Is it wrong that I wanted to really land on the Brown civil trial jury for a moment?
Oh, they would throw you off. Right? They would just play. They'd play like 3 minutes of any of your hits, and you would immediately disqualified.
Omaha!
The Eagle Super Bowl party is ongoing in Philadelphia. Well, Fox 29 in Philly caught up with fans who showed up yesterday morning before dawn to get a great seat for the festivities.
Hey, Eric Deshaun, can you make it over to me right now? I'm sorry, I know it's getting comfy there. And they've been here since 3 o'clock like at this setup. This is as close as you can get. So whose idea was it to get here at 3 p.m. today to come here for tomorrow's event 24 hours early?
I mean, we do this every Super Bowl. 2018, we was out here on the other side of the pool doing the same thing.
How old were you back in 2018?
I probably was about 16, 15, out here by myself last time.
All right, that last part is wild, but what's the earliest you'd show up for a Super Bowl parade in the winter?
Well, we can actually know now what a parade is. We've had a parade here in the last decade.
Yeah, was summer. That's totally different.
I would probably say I would try and get there like maybe 7 a.m., catch the 5 a.m. train, hope to get downtown by 7. But in the dead of winter, yeah.
But that's a day out. So they didn't just, they didn't show up 3 a.m. today.
It was
yesterday.
I'm saying day of. Like, Ooh. Yeah.
I just don't know.
I'm not camping out.
I can't do cold the way I used to be able to do cold. I used to be able to do backflips into the snow. I did that. If I did that right now, I'd be paralyzed. Like this is like today. I was in and out of the truck one more time than I am by like 9 a.m. Because after dropping the girls off, Ness and I had a couple errands to run. I was shivering in the office. It was like a 72 degree office we were in. I was shivering. I can't do cold anymore. I think I know I would go to a Brown Super Bowl parade. I just feel like I'd be like the president who walked outside in the rain and like I can't remember which one it was, but lasted 49 days and he died. That's how I would be after a Brown Super Bowl.
I covered the 0-16 parade and it was 10 degrees below zero. Not a joke. I think my eyes froze that day.
Omaha!
It is Eagle Super Bowl parade day and no better way to celebrate if you're Quinyon Mitchell.
To the people of Philadelphia, your love message.
Go!
Now I
think
we can confirm that the mayor actually spelled Eagles correctly this time around.
That's good for her.
Which is good, right? You learn from your mistakes, right? But it is Valentine's Day.
Uh-huh.
It is a day for lovers, and if there's no better way to celebrate not only a Super Bowl championship of your favorite team, but the day of love than to say I do at the parade.
What are your plans today?
Enjoy the Eagles game and celebrate our wedding.
And when are you getting married?
Today.
Where?
Right here.
Who's marrying you?
Just us, my sister.
Congratulations. Thank you.
So I guess it's a memorable anniversary. You'll never forget
absolutely,
it, right?
Absolutely.
Eagles parade and Valentine's.
When are you getting married?
So my question to you, most inappropriate time or place to get married?
Strip club. Think about it.
Rolled right off the tongue. Yeah. Real fast, Nick. You didn't even think about that.
You said place. Now time, right before time of death. Because you said place, I'm going to tell you, if she's willing to get married at a strip club, she must really love you. They do have all-you-can-eat buffets. I mean, I'm just saying there's a value grab there. Yeah. Get a dance, the first dance. It's not the kind of dance you were hoping for.
Here comes chastity for the happy couple.
Yeah, and I'd like to keep my job. Let's go.
Omaha!
Saquon Barkley had his best year in the pros. He's actually been kind of a star of this. He saw the ball boy in the crowd, and he pulled him over the rail so he could celebrate with the team, which I think is really cool. Well, he also gifted his offensive line a literal truckload each of Bud Light. How long would it take you to go through a truckload of beer?
Probably, I don't know, like 3 years, because I don't drink a lot of beer. I would give it away. That's what I would do. That's the only way I go through a fast, is by just giving free beer to all my friends. I would become the most popular person in Northeast Ohio if I had a truckload of beer just to give away.
I don't think I could do it in a year. I mean, I don't have enough parties.
I was going to say, I don't know. Truckload of beer and you in a year?
No, because here's the thing.
That'd be doable.
I don't drink as much. Now, if I sit down and decide, like, there is the random time once every 3 months where I'm like, I want to see if I can drink this 12-pack before I get done grilling steaks. There, I have that moment once every quarter. That used to be once every week. So, to get rid of a truckload of beer.
You've retired Frank the Tank?
No, I just only pull them out at special occasions. Like, it used to be, hey, it's Tuesday. Did somebody say drink? Now it's, I really got to think about this before I go ahead and let that guy out of his cage. But no, I think it would take me, even with going to the cabin where, I mean, we put back 100 beers every couple days because we're playing Pong and drinking while we're grilling, and I can drink a lot, and my boys can drink a lot. Like, even then, I feel like with a cabin, I feel like I would end up having to throw out beer because it's expired.
Yeah, that's why I think it would
work. Omaha!
Ever since the NBA's media rights became a thing, the Inside the NBA crew, I think, has gotten a little fast and loose, and, well, it's the last year for them on TNT, and, well, I think they just hit the bleep it button.
In the words of Marshawn Lynch, I'm tired of America. We get fired anyway, Ernie.
When's the last time you said bleep it?
On air or off air?
Both.
I don't remember the last time. Something did come out. Was it when you were filling in last year? Something snuck out.
The tiger got out. I did cause the tiger to get out.
It was a word we couldn't even. It wasn't even like close to on the line. It was clear over the line where we all dove for the dump button. And it's the one time in my career that's happened, ironically with you, I'm sure.
You're welcome.
I say that like once a day. Peterlin says I don't curse a lot. I feel like I sound like a sailor.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I feel like I'm the king of bleep it. One way or another, it doesn't take a lot for me to go there. How about you?
I actually have family members that tell me I swear entirely too much.
So, okay, this is what... Do you think I swear a lot?
Because Peterlin... No, I don't. Okay. That's why I asked you, because it's...
In my head, maybe it's because the only time I realize that I'm swearing is if my kids are in earshot, and so I get painfully aware of what a bad example I'm being, and I immediately go, oh, bleep it. Like, I immediately start to panic. Okay, quick story has no end. There's really no point to this other than I just want to say it on air. Last night, Vanessa gets the zoomies if she falls asleep, and I have to wake her up before bed. But all four girls, I had to wake up all four girls because they had fallen asleep to then send them to bed. And so Vanessa's like, hey, I want to talk about this and I want to talk about this. And meanwhile, I can barely keep my eyes open. And so Sophie's like, Dad, I need to get new batteries. And I'm like... Like, okay, and we're walking. I'm like, I'm not mad at you. I want you to know. Your mom's got zoomies now, and I'm going to have to have a 30-minute conversation about things that stress me all the way out before I can just go to bed and I'm tired. And she goes, well, that's women for you, my man. And I have not gotten over either part of the comment, either that's women for you or her calling me my man. I was like, for this moment, the next 5 minutes after, you are my favorite.
You know what the lesson there is? Next time, Don't wake him up. Let him sleep there.
Yeah, I've gotten plenty of... there's a whole nother problem with that. But a big weekend for the NBA, but only for some NBA fans. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.